4B Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
B Show rolling along here on a Thursday, ESPN 680, 105.7. A couple of texts to get to here. High school story of a name that Jeff might know of. My school had a basketball game against Mail. My best friend had a steal and fast break. Tony Driver came in behind him and basically jumped from the free throw line and pinned his layup onto the backboard. Tony Driver had a good career playing cornerback.
Yeah.
At Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Did you know?
I don't know. He's older than me, okay, but I know okay. Tony Driver is, though. Yeah. Great athlete from what I was told. Yeah. Tony Driver.
There you go. Let's see here. A couple other ones. 437-9680 UPS job. Sex line. A buddy of mine played for Whitesville Trinity. They were a damn tough team in the third region that year. Then Apollo came in with Rex Chapman. He jumped over everyone in the gym. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah,
Rex Chapman was pretty good. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good at basketball.
Yeah.
This guy said that I played against Doug Beaumont, Dexter Hyman, and Justin Green at Mail, dusted us. That was before your time.
That was before. No, they were closer to me than Tony Driver. Tony Driver's like
I was gonna say
in the 90s.
Yeah.
But those guys were like, they were the aura of what we came into. The stories about, like, Beaumont's a little older than, you know, Justin. Dexter Hyman and Justin are closer. But Justin had, like, just graduated by the time I got to Mail.
Right.
But he was the guy.
He was the guy.
Like, he was a state champion in track. He was Mr. Football type of guy. Then he went to Illinois. I was going to say,
where did he go to college?
He went to Illinois.
Yeah, okay.
He went to Illinois. He was a running back corner. I think he was going to go to Louisville, if I'm not mistaken, but they wanted him to play cornerback. He wanted to play running back. Illinois told him he could play running back. He gets to Illinois. They switched him to cornerback anyway. But he made it to the NFL. Made it to the NFL, played for the Patriots, and now he's back in town. He runs a gym and stuff. So, yeah, shout out to Justin Green. He's awesome.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Very nice. Good stuff there. All right. So, did you see – I didn't see it. I wasn't watching it live. Basically it was Nickapalooza last night. I had the night to myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch any sports. I watched wrestling and I did laundry. That was basically
I thought that was going somewhere in the other direction.
Whoa. What'd you think I was going to say? No, go ahead. Say it with your chest.
No, I was going to say, I was watching porn or something. That's where my brain went with you.
Well, I didn't say I was only watching wrestling, but I'm saying that was the main thing.
WWE, though. It was wrestling.
It was AEW, maybe. Yeah, AEW Dynamite last night. Bryan Danielson.
Wow, these porn names are just getting weirder and weirder.
These porn names. The American Dragon. That's his wrestling name. No, but evidently there was some shenanigans. Colombia, Uruguay in the Copa, I believe, semifinal. Uruguay, I think, beat. Or no, they got beat by Colombia, I think. And then they went into the crowd and just started throwing hands with some of the fans.
Can I just say they
got instigated, you know, I'm sure. But still, like,
not a. I think maybe one punch landed.
Really?
It was really.
That's probably for the best.
From the angle from afar, I was like, oh, man, they're getting into it. And then there's a video from, like, two rows back from, like, in the bleachers or seats. And I was like, no one got punched at all. Like, I thought this was, thank God the cops were there, though. They were doing a really good job. Or security, I don't know. But I thought it was way more crazier, but I don't think anyone got, like, hit at all. It was just more pushing and shoving.
Pushing and shoving. All right. Well, that's probably for the best.
Typical soccer fashion.
Typical soccer. But there was another thing I saw that I just wanted to get your guys' two cents on. I can't remember who the player was for Argentina. I believe it was Argentina. But he basically, after they beat Canada 2-0 in the other semifinal, he basically came out and was like, yeah, we dive. It's part of our culture.
Oh, wow.
And he just, like, straight up said that. Oh. And it pissed off some people. Part of me is like, it's soccer, right? And we all kind of know that that's the case. I mean, are you going to crush the guy for saying it? I don't know. I just, I guess I kind of understood the outrage, but at the same time, I was sort of like, why are we surprised? You know?
I'm just waiting for, Trae Young or LeBron to be like, yeah, I foul bait. And I'll be like, oh. We knew, man. Like, don't worry about it. it's kind of like that. I mean, I get it. Like, there are times that athletes have done that before that they're like, yeah, I got a call. Like, I remember Derek Jeter got a pitch thrown towards his hands, and it hit the, bottom of his bat, mm-hmm. but he like played it off that it like hit his hand first.
I think I remember that. Yeah.
And then like in the interview, he's like, "Yeah, no, that hit the bottom of the bat." And he's like, "I was like shaking my hand because the vibration of the bat like hurt my hand. I didn't get hit in the hand at all." And they're like, "Oh, so why'd you take the base?" He's like, "Why would I not?"
Yeah, I was gonna say, he's like, "Yeah, what am I?
Yeah, I'm not gonna tell them that they messed up. If they messed up, it's on them."
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
It's like, I'm not gonna.
It reminds me of, and look. I like the commercials for the most part.
Oh, I think
but
I know
you know exactly
know
where
the
I'm
basketball.
Going. The basketball. Yes. One. Coach was out on
Coach
me.
Coach was out on me.
And, huh?
Yeah.
Wait, like, what? If he was on my team, nah. No. I wouldn't have went down like that. I'd have been like, hell no. Like, we're taking this to the grave, but at least it's for the game.
Yeah.
It's for the game. He said, Coach, I actually touched it. No, you didn't. They said it was the... No, the hell you didn't. Even if you think you did, you didn't. That's you didn't touch it.
And it was like sportsmanship, pass it on. And I'm like, don't. Nobody would do that. Sportsmanship is picking the opponent up when you knock him down. Hey, good hustle, bro. Pat him on the ass and then go your separate way. No, that's sportsmanship.
Exactly. Would a ref even like change the call? Be like, oh, yeah.
No.
Not in high school. Hell no.
Right?
Not without replay. You don't have replay in high school. So that's like a high school game. They said it was out on the green team or whatever, and it was actually, it was like, oh, Coach, it was actually out on me. Who gives a damn?
That's what I'm saying. The ref would be like, cool, thanks for your honesty. Yeah. You're a dumbass. Yeah. Like, the play, the call still saying, I'm not going to, I'm not going to take.
Still yours.
What ref would actually do that? Be like, oh, my bad. I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Like,
and how do you explain that? It's like, oh, yeah. Actually, we're reversing because, like, the crowd doesn't know he just told the truth. And it's like, oh, how do you know? There's no replay. Oh, because he actually just told me that he actually touched it. Like, nah, that was so. The ref so garbage. I hate that commercial.
Me too. It pisses me off so bad.
I would
bad.
Love the NFL refs to be like, flag on the play, unnecessary. Oh, all right. Yeah, no, we're good.
No,
yeah,
never mind. No, never
I'm putting
mind.
That back in my pocket. Like,
and the other thing is, like, the referee could be like, no, that's not what I saw. You might have touched it, but he touched it last. So shut up. Like, stop.
Or they just do a just the commercial. Just, hey, shut up, kid. I got five bands on your team right now. I've been fixing this game the whole time. I don't need your honesty right now, man.
Oh, God. That commercial is just so cringe. I just feel like there's so many better examples of sportsmanship that you can
way
use.
Better.
I love sportsmanship. V Show's a pro sportsmanship show.
Same.
But that is so.
Nah, I hate the commercial.
I hate that commercial. Like, nobody.
Because it's so fake. Like, that's not happening in real life. And you're not going to get. What you're going to do is get kids or people or adults to get even more mad to make sure I never look like that idiot.
That's
like,
what
that
I'm idiot, saying.
I never want to look like that goofball.
Yeah, I'm
like,
going to go the opposite way. I'm going to chastise the official. I'll be like, you know, get the pigeon crap out
Come
of your
on,
eyes,
what are you
stripes.
Doing?
What are you like,
What's happening? Like, nah.
Yeah,
nah,
just,
I hate
oh,
that one.
God, that
nah,
commercial.
When you said that, it reminded me of that instantly. I knew exactly
I just,
what
I think that
I don't
might...
think a hockey player's ever done that. They've said words to the ref, but it
oh,
is
yeah, but...
just not nice words.
No, see, I would love to watch, like, a realistic version of that, like, commercial. Like, just, like, and it's just that. It's guys just swearing at one another, and it's, like, sportsmanship, pass it on. I would love to watch that.
It's dead.
Like, sportsmanship, it's dead. Well, I love those commercials, but that one just was a total... utter swinging.
It was a waste of money. Production
that's
dollars.
What I'm saying.
It was a waste of production dollars.
And like, and I'm kind of mad at the coach a little bit too, like because
yeah,
he's just like,
good job.
Yeah, he's it? Just like, fine, good call.
Was
like, you
it?
Know, what
was
the
it
hell?
A waste of money though that we're still talking about it, and it's like,
but it's not making us want to promote sportsmanship. Yeah. Like that's what I'm saying. It's
makes me want to do the opposite.
It makes me. Yeah, it makes me want to cheat.
It makes me want to do the opposite. I'm gonna argue, even though I know I touched it. Yeah. Hell no, it wasn't off me. No, come on. What are you talking about, ref? What's going on? Like I'm gonna do the opposite. Like no, I'm not going for that. Not at all.
I want that commercial of Whitesy getting tossed from the game and us holding him back while he's just MFing the referee. You know, screw this whole play. Screw you guys, your teammate. You know, and just like sportsmanship, pass it on. Like I was. I'd love to see that. Oh, my God. Let's see here. This texter says, then the ref has to believe him when he says, I got all ball. Yeah, I know. It's, come on. Ridiculous. Anyway, so other storylines going on. We got the Wimbledon semifinals taking place. Pelini for Italy, Paizan, making it to the finals earlier today. What do we got right now? I don't know how to say that girl's name. Krejcikova. And Rybakina are currently in the second set.
I'm gonna go Krejcikova because
Krejcikova.
That's the beginning of David Krejci's name.
No, I think you're right. Czechoslovakia. Yeah. Okay. And then Kazakhstan. Yeah, they're out the regular season when those two countries get
together.
Shout
out Borat.
Absolutely. All right, so I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, this story that Louis brought up to my attention. It's talking a little bit about conference realignment and everything like that, and they're talking about the Big 12, how, you know, they're talking about how it's just it's the best football conference and everything like that. And
the Big 12 is?
Well, I believe that's a, I got to go back and read the whole thing. But okay. but basically, like, yeah, the crux of it is that conferences don't need parity. They need juggernauts. And it's like, okay, if you look at the SEC, it's four teams. I mean, you know, it's good. Yeah. It's good, but it's four major teams. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Big Ten, it's like two, three that are really at the top. The Big 12, everyone says, is like the best basketball conference, maybe. But Kansas has won 13 of the last 14 years. So mm-hmm. it's like, do you really need parity in your conference for it to be strong? Or do you really just need it to be top heavy? And I think that's interesting. I mean, take it to the local factor, the ACC. I mean, who's dominating the headlines right now in the ACC? Florida State and Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not the additions
Miami.
Of SM. Yeah, but
it's every year though that it's like, oh, this is the year they're coming
and everything
back.
Like yeah. that. But seriously, like, how important to you guys do you think it really is for there to be parity for your conference to be healthy?
It doesn't necessarily have to be parity. The thing that helps, let's just use the SEC as a conference. What helps them a ton is that they are really top heavy. There's Georgia, there's Alabama. Now they've added Texas and Oklahoma.
Right.
And LSU is always a good team. So they always have that. They dominate a couple of things. They've won a ton of the last 10 national champions. Well, they have like eight of them, nine of them, something mm-hmm. crazy, right? The only one not being them is the two that Clemson won in the last decade and the one that Michigan just won. So in the last decade, they've won seven, I'm assuming. Like going back to 2015, they won seven out of the last 10. What helps them is that they win all the championships and they dominate the NFL draft. So so when you're broadcasting the conference, because in bowl games alone, they're not that great. Like outside of like the playoff games.
Right.
Like they dominate those playoff games. But like in standard everyday in the Pop-Tart Bowl or whatever, like they're okay.
Right.
You know, they're not
But they're not
overwhelming.
Decimating everybody.
Exactly. And but they dominate the championships, which matter the most, and they dominate the draft. So that's what has them as the upper echelon conference. And people watch their games. That's another thing. They dominate the TV ratings. So those are the three.
But is the TV driven by juggernauts or is it driven
by? It's driven by the juggernauts, though.
Yeah.
It's driven by the big dogs.
I think that's the argument they're making.
Yeah. So when you're like Vanderbilt in Mississippi State aren't getting the number that Georgia versus Tennessee is going to get.
Right.
Right. So that's part of it. I think also, like, parody's overrated. I'm going to just be honest with you.
Really?
Like, for sports fans, it's very overrated. Because what do we like the most? We like dynasties. We like either rooting against dynasties or rooting for dynasties. The Michael Jordan Bulls, people rooted for that dynasty. The
right.
Showtime Lakers, people rooted for that dynasty. Or even, and in the mix of that was the Celtics, the Bird Celtics, people rooted for that dynasty. Same with Kobe and Shaq.
I was weird. I root against them. Like in the 90s,
so
there's
some people that,
I liked MJ.
Yeah.
But I was rooting like a son of a bitch for my Pacers to you know, knock them out. And then in the championship, I was all for Malone and Stockton.
Yeah.
And then I was the same way with the Cowboys. I know I was, you know, my flag football team was the 49ers. So.
But yeah, so. Yeah.
But to your point, I was rooting
against
the
dynasties. But you're going to tune in
because
of the dynasty. So even right now, the NFL is having its all-time, like some of its all-time highest ratings. But what do they have in the midst of it? It's a dynasty. It's the Chiefs. So a lot of people, and now they have Taylor Swift in the mix. So there's a ton of Chiefs
who's
fans.
Who's connected to the dynasty.
Exactly.
Right.
They have a ton of Chiefs fans, but there's a ton of people like me that are sick of the Chiefs. Yep. Right? So like sports really loves dynasties. The Warriors. That was the dynasty. People loved the Warriors, but a whole lot of people hated the Warriors, especially when KD came aboard. LeBron James. He's a dynasty in itself.
Right.
People love LeBron James, but they hate him. And so what I'm saying all of that to say,
parity to me is overrated. Like, sports fans really don't like parity. The worst time in the NBA is right now because the Celtics won, then Milwaukee won, and then also Denver won. And it's kind of like, whatever. But if you came in and had a team that had a three-peat right now, like right. If Wemby gets good enough and the Spurs have a three-peat, okay, now I have either a hero or a villain, whatever
God,
side you
I
stand on.
I don't want
on.
Another Spurs dynasty.
You know, or whatever. Like, you get like a, you need someone or a team or a player or whatever in sports. We love the contrast. Either you're the ultimate hero or the villain, or you're the hero and you live long enough to see yourself become
right.
a villain, right? So like
nice
those
Batman reference.
Yeah, so that those are the things that we gravitate towards when it comes to sports. Like even in this SEC dominant run, within the dominant run was Alabama. And Alabama, everybody hated Alabama. I right. don't like unless you were an Alabama fan, and,
yeah, right.
but you tuned in to watch because it was like, yo, like they're so freaking good.
Yeah,
like how the hell is Nick Saban, how is he able to revitalize himself every time? Like he's like it when right when we think we finally got him off, oh, the spread offense, Johnny Manziel and Ole Miss or whatever, I can figure that out and I can dominate that too,
right.
I can play you guys, okay, defense doesn't matter anymore, I've always been a defense run game, who gives a damn about my quarterback, all right, I'll just play like you guys and go get the best quarterback yeah. every year. Well, this Jalen
I'll
Hurts.
Do what you did better.
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
just better. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going to go get the best wide receivers. I'm going to have four first rounders and one wide receiver room at the same time. Like, right. I'm going to just do that. So the college football, I think, was hitting a stalemate a little bit because the South was so dominant. But now that, like, Michigan won a championship, Ohio State, like you needed different areas of the country to be interesting. USC, which is LA, had an Heisman Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. You needed other parts of the country to get involved, and that's
no, they got
to
get a taste.
Yeah, and that's why I think the sport is even it's the healthiest it's ever been because other regions now feel like they now that Saban's gone.
Right.
Now the SEC's still the SEC, but with Saban gone, other parts of the country, like Ohio State's the favorite to win the championship
right.
this year. Like Michigan's still going to have another team. Lincoln Riley's got USC going in the right direction. Texas, even though it's still in the South, but it's different than like the Southern states.
Right.
Texas has got a team that can win the whole thing. Now that other parts of the country feel like they actually have a chance, college football, I think it's in the best spot. And you have the video game coming out on top of it.
You got the video game. And also, I feel like the college football playoff expansion also helps.
Also
because
helps.
Now.
Yeah.
Now you have the teams that like are that maybe aren't at that the head of the table, like mm-hmm. the top, you know, 6 to 8 teams.
Yeah.
But you have like programs like Louisville now.
Yeah.
Now they got
and there
some
other
skin
regions
in the game.
Of the country too.
Right.
Other regions of the country
that are in that secondary mm-hmm. tier of a good team.
Yes.
But not necessarily elite. But now they can compete.
Yes.
Now they got a chance
out in the West Coast has
right.
a legit chance of winning the championship. So that is what's the best for the game. As far as the like I said, the parity thing, I think that's kind of overrated. I think in college,
but isn't that I feel like it's a smidgen of parity. You do need like. Okay.
I think they just needed a chance to feel involved. Like when
right.
the South, and I say the South, and even more specifically, Alabama, but like when everything, and it feels like all the TV networks are catering towards the South, all everything is catering towards the SEC. That's bad for the sport. If
right.
one conference is just dominating. But if Oregon, who's now in the Big Ten, can look as just as good as a team like an LSU. Like I think they may even play this year. Like Oregon plays somebody from
yeah.
the SEC, and they go down there and they beat them. It's like, oh, okay. Like I like if I'm a West Coast guy, I can now feel like I'm a part of the college football
right.
sphere.
Okay, I see.
As opposed
I see what you're
to just only people who matter are LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Florida. Like I'm not gonna tune in every year if just one of them. And not just them winning, but everything is geared towards them. They get all the rules. They get everything. They get all the TV contracts. They get everything. It's like, I don't want to tune into that. But if I have a legit chance and I have and I really think I can beat them, and I probably can because my good coaches like Dan Lanning stay or Steve Sarkisian goes to Texas and turns Texas into something. Because Texas, even though it's a southern state, it's not the same as like the SEC.
No, it's a different region.
Yeah.
It's a different
and
region.
It's in the SEC now,
right.
which is weird, but it's like a different part of the country.
Right.
And
it's
so
central.
Massive.
It's central.
Yeah.
I don't want to say central America, but yeah it's like Midwest. But,
yeah.
Well, Texas is its own entity.
And
it's so damn
big.
Yeah,
it's
so,
so
big. It's basically
yeah.
its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like I see what you're saying, but I feel like I and maybe this is not quite apples to apples, but when I think of dangerous dynasties, I think of UConn basketball women. I feel
yeah.
like that
yeah.
almost killed the sport.
Yeah.
Because they were so dominant.
Yeah, that was just that's
women's
abnormal,
basketball
though.
Still struggles with parity.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because you go from UConn to South Carolina, you know, Dawn Staley's got things working down there. But, I mean, it's still, there's just still a lack of.
But what's helping, the problem with UConn women, too, not only were they just too dominant, right? Like, you win 10 championships in 12 years.
And like, they're beating people by 30. Yeah, like
you win 100 games in a row. Like, that's not fun. What I think also hurt them, too.
Speak for yourself. That was really fun.
Yeah. No, if you're a Connecticut, yeah.
That was awesome.
Guy.
Yeah. But what also hurt them during that time, too, specifically, was that men's college basketball was still really, really, and not to say it's not popular now, but, like, it was still, like, in the high regard. But now with the NIL and the transfer portal and the one and done, men's college basketball is taking a peg down, whereas the ladies' game has taken a step up because now, like, how I used to get to know the men and the women, like, the women were always there. Now, I can't get to know them in because they're changing teams every year.
Right.
But I still get to know my Juju Watkins, my Paige Beckers, Caitlin Clarks, Angel Reese's, because they're going to be in college for 4 years. And they're going to be really good for 4 years. And now, just not on the screen am I going to see them. I'm going to see them in commercials. I'm going to see them attending other people's games. Like, Juju Watkins at the LA Sparks game. Like, she's a celebrity now. Like, they're celebrities, and they're making money, and they're hooping. So they're getting all of it. Same with all the young ladies that are going to come through Louisville. Like, we saw Dana Evans, and we saw Shoni Schimmel, and we saw A.D. Durr, and all these different players. Mm-hmm. And, like, now with the NIL stuff, we'll see them even more. Like, they'll be even more prevalent. I think in collegiate sports, maybe, dynasties aren't as great as, like, pro sports. I think it's pro sports. Parity is overrated. Parity, I think, in collegiate sports, actually, is a little better, simply because you need different regions of the country to be all
invested
in on your product, as opposed to the pros. They're going to be all in on your product anyway, and we love to, because, like, you don't really want to villainize or vilify a collegiate athlete. So, like, in pros, you need a hero and a villain, or you need a villain to root against, or whatever. Whereas we don't, like, even myself, I try not to go too hard on collegiate athletes.
Yeah, they're kids. Like, they're still kids.
Exactly.
Right.
And one day, my son or my daughter or my niece or whatever may end up being a collegiate athlete. I wouldn't want a grown 30, 40, 50-year-old man going crazy on them either. Like, I get it. So I think in college sports, there is more of that parity that's needed as far as – but when I say parity, I'm just saying, like, regionally. Like, when Oregon, USC, Washington, some of those West Coast schools are good, that helps to combat – the dominance.
So, like,
South.
A regional, like,
yeah,
a regional
and
parity.
Ohio State and Michigan in the Midwest, they're holding down the Midwest. The Oregon, the USC's, the UCLA, whatever, are holding down the West Coast. Obviously, the South are going to have their teams. Like, that gets every aspect, every part of the country kind of involved. And especially, I'm specifically talking about college football, which helps, I think, the sport's overall health when that is the case, as opposed to the SEC just winning 10 straight championships or whatever.
No, I'd agree with that. And one of my biggest things that always just drove me nuts about college football, and I've since come around a little bit now that there has been that, you know, a little bit more of a regional parity. And I am... You know, sorry, Jared Stillman. I am so stoked about the college football playoff expansion.
Yeah.
That was it always drove me nuts that basically every year you had seven teams, not even eight, seven teams that
had
you were anointed that these one of these seven teams is going to win the national championship.
And they only had a chance.
And
really.
Only
that
them,
was only them.
And they were going to play their way out of it. And then the best you could do was maybe just sneak in and pull a Cincinnati. And, you know, but
they didn't have a chance of winning.
But they didn't have a chance of winning.
They had a chance of winning, yeah.
Yeah. And I know that's kind of the argument against college football expansion. Let's talk a little bit about that. I want your thoughts on this.
So I think the 12, well, four teams never made sense to me.
No.
Because there were five Power Five schools. Like, right? Like, there were five.
No, that was always Pops' argument.
That never
you know, before the Pac 2 became the Pac 2.
Yeah, exactly.
But he was like, you've told me that these are the five most important in revenue, in talent.
Yes.
And you're only going to allow
four
maybe four of them. Because sometimes you get two SEC schools.
SEC,
right.
Exactly.
He's like, so how the hell does that make sense? How am I supposed to buy into the principle that these are the best conferences when you can do the best you can? You win your conference championship.
Yes.
And not advance.
I mean, you
that
could go,
part drove me nuts.
You could go undefeated.
No,
Florida State went undefeated last year.
Right.
They didn't make it.
They went undefeated last year.
That's so frustrating.
You get what I'm saying? Like, so, like, I'm not saying.
And they're in one of those top tier things. Exactly. It's under. Okay. Like, when UCF went undefeated. Mm-hmm. Okay. I would have loved to have seen them get a chance to play.
But they weren't in Power 5.
But, fine. Mm-hmm. Fine. I didn't agree with that argument. Mm-hmm. But I can hear it. But no, like, with the Florida State thing last year was, I mean, I understood them. And I'm not the biggest Florida State fan.
No,
by any
you
stretch,
know, we don't like Florida
but
State.
But I was like, guys have a right to be pissed off.
Yeah, and so that's why it never made sense. It was a popularity contest, essentially.
That's what I'm saying.
That's really what it came down to. It came down to a popularity contest, and that is why the 12 team, whether you feel like the 10, 11, 12 seeds can actually win, it's not a popularity contest anymore. Like, to me, to an extent, it still is, but to me, it expands it to teams that would have never gotten a shot. Like, never. And they still may not have a chance to win. But they
have a chance.
Exactly. And with the great equalizer being NIL and transfer portal.
Right.
Alabama, LSU, Florida, these teams can't have Tua backing up Jalen Hurts, backing up Mac Jones, like, anymore. Like, that doesn't exist anymore. Because those guys, yeah, they may back you up for 1 year, but I ain't backing up for 2 and 3 years.
I'm
going to go to a place like Louisville.
I
got to
go get mine.
To go play. You know, so now that is the great equalizer to a certain extent. Like, obviously, their school, like, Ohio State's isn't going to get their guys. Alabama's still going to get their guys. Like, it's not, like, just going to make to where nobody goes to those schools, but it makes it to where they can't stack five stars on top of each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so one of those five stars are going to go play somewhere else.
Right.
And somewhere like a Louisville, somewhere like a Kentucky in some cases. Like, we heard Mark Story talk about when Ohio State's dominating nationally, those guys who may have went to Ohio State and been a backup for a couple of years will now choose a UK or choose a Purdue or choose a whatever to play more frequently or to play right away. So those type of things, I think, are the great neutralizers in college football.
I think NIL is a massive one, too. I mean, I always – and we've seen it right in our own backyard.
Absolutely.
I thought that was going to be a major thing that could kind of even the power paradox a little bit. Go away from these big state schools that have all their resources and everything, and then you go to the metropolitan schools like Louisville, like a Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh just jumped into my mind, but you get my point, where there's more companies, there's more businesses, there's more NIL opportunities. I always thought that was going to be a great equalizer.
And it has been.
But and the transfer portal helps too. But I mean, you bring up a great point with the expansion is also something that can really kind of help facilitate these changing rosters.
Because now I actually feel like I have a chance. Like, if I go, because like you said, for what the 14 playoff, I've been around for like a decade now. Mm-hmm. For a decade, I knew if I didn't go to one of these, what you say, seven, eight schools maybe, I didn't have a chance of winning a national championship. But now with the playoff expanding to 12, now instead of 7-8, now there's like 25-30.
Right.
Once again, that's not to say that you will win it, but at least I know I can go to the playoff.
Right.
And now when it's my turn, like if I'm a junior or whatever, I know I'm not having to sit out a bowl game or whatever because this bowl game actually matters.
Right.
It advances me on. So those type of things are also going to help when it comes to the parity aspect, because now other players look at other places as a legit chance of being an ACC or an SEC or Big 12 or Big 10 or whatever champion, and a chance to make it to the playoffs and advance into the playoffs while also getting my check for my NIL and having a good time enjoying my college experience.
Do you think it's a little too big, though? Like that was the only argument. Like, because me, I always thought the perfect size would be 8. Mm-hmm. I thought 8 would be you. Have
I didn't think 8 was bad.
You have back when we had your Power 5. You had your Power 5. You can add a group, you know, a group of 5 team in there, like your UCF or something along those lines, and then maybe one or two schools that at large they lost their conference championship. That way, you could have Bama and Georgia.
Yeah,
you could have both of them.
You get the teams that you want.
Yeah,
the teams that you really want in there, they'll make sure they're in there too. I thought 8 was probably perfect. 12 is fine. 14 is too much, and I think that's where they're going.
I agree.
I think they're going to 14 because now they actually see the revenue that's in it.
Yeah.
Because I'm filling up, especially with these first round games at the home stadiums, but even more important than that, I can, if I'm ESPN, I can sub-license the first round games to TNT. And so, yeah, I paid the college football playoff $6-7 billion, whatever they paid is a massive number, but I can recoup some of that before the games are even played by sublicensing the games to Turner Sports. And so now TNT has a couple of those first round games. So I sell those to them for $200-300 million. And I get that before I actually start dishing out my commercials, because that's how I get my money from the advertisers, before I start recouping my money back from the advertisers. So that's why.
Weren't they basically working at a deficit? Like, I think ESPN paid, I'm trying to remember what I mean, it was billion with a
B.
Yeah, it was multi-billion with a B, and like it was to the point where, and the ratings weren't that great for the
for a long time, because nobody wanted to see Georgia versus Alabama for a third time.
Yeah,
but their best ratings came last year.
Yeah,
when you had Texas, Washington, Michigan, and Alabama. So you get your SEC
in
school.
All different regions, like you said.
Exactly.
Like
you said. They had, and there were good games.
Yeah, they were.
They were
That's
good
true.
Games. The Michigan-Alabama game went into overtime. The Washington-Texas game went to the last play. Now, the Washington-Texas game was kind of a mismatch, but they already worked. They already turned a profit because the two first-round games were so awesome. And you had different regions of the country all represented, so they had massive numbers.
Now, I guess the question is, now for the people that don't like the expansion, like, do you think that it's going to be a problem, like, if you do get some bad matchups in that opening round? Because, let's be honest, I mean, now, I know it's not, you know, the top teams get the bye.
Still college football.
You know, and anything can happen, that's true, but
I get what you're saying. The first round,
I understand, I'm pro-expansion.
No,
I'm just saying, like, you know,
no,
the arguments that the detractors say.
I still think the number is still going to be really good, because it's still college football, which is the second highest viewed thing behind the NFL in the country, right? So it's still college football, and it is playoff college football. So there's gonna be some blowouts.
This isn't the weed whacker bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
These are,
but don't get it twisted. There're gonna be some blowouts. Like there're gonna be some blowouts, just like there were always blowouts in the 4-team playoff.
Right.
So you expand to 12, there's gonna be some blowouts. But because the stakes are still so high, you're still gonna get solid numbers on every first round matchup.
It's gonna be fun. I'm very excited, and now like there's a real chance for Louisville to be dancing.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think, just really quick, with the addition of the video game, video game and sports betting, people are going to be locked in because they feel like they know these people.
I was
going
to ask,
with the game,
what impact
do
you think gambling is going to have on it? Because let's be honest, that was one of the reasons the NFL was king for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, people were illegally betting on it, but still betting on it.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things. Now that
it's only
so,
going to help. Yeah. It's only going to help. You saw, I mean, that's why people, like you saw some of the people within the NCAA wanted to take away prop bets from college sports because, you know, unfortunately, there are wackos out there that'll tweet and DM collegiate athletes because you messed up their parlay.
Right.
But that's the bad side. The good side is those people, the only reason why they know you messed up their parlay because they're watching.
Right.
And that's why the eyeballs are always going to be there. They're always going to be there. And now with the incorporation of the video game, if I play with Auburn, even though I don't watch, I feel like I know the whole Auburn roster
because
I'm playing with them on the video game.
They're
actually using their names and their numbers.
Right. It's not wide receiver 87.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it draws a more of a personal connection to the team and to the players.
I think you hit it on the head there. That's Jeff Lightsey Jr., Nick Valvano in for Bobby V today. We'll take a bottom of the hour break. It's the V Show. It's a Thursday, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has 4 area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
V Show rolling along here on a Thursday. I forgot what day it was.
Yeah.
on ESPN 680-1057. Very, very excited to be joined in studio by another TBT guest and former Cardinal alum, Chris Jones. Chris, how are you, sir?
Having me, thank y'all for having me.
There we go. We gotta get your mic turned on.
Yeah,
Tanner's got it. There we go.
I can hear it.
Okay, awesome, man. Awesome. But yeah, no, very, very happy to have you in studio, man. Just, I mean, how are things going with the TBT, man? Yeah, how's it feel to be playing for the Ville this year as opposed to dashing everyone's hopes like last year, man?
No, I feel good. It feel good. Feel good to be back home. You know, I call Louisville my home. The guy's been great. The fans still around. I see. Everybody happy to just have the old guys back around to show this new era of guys that the way we used to play and what the city is used to. So for us is this is just like welcoming us back for real.
Yeah.
You know, just being around the guys that I grew a relationship with, won with, battled with, just to see these guys doing good and all us doing good. To come back and do something good for the city is always good.
What's it been like? You talk about the runs. Like, what have the runs been like? I seen you and we had Russ in here yesterday. Yeah. He talked about how, man, he's like, yo, Chris is one of the best hoopers, just period, like in the nation. But what have those runs been like for you so far?
Competitive. Yesterday we had Eric Clark in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Trez Land today, it's just getting better and better. But for me, I'm just trying to, you know, get guys in fully. No shape. I know what it take. You know, I know what it take to go far in this. So me just making Rush better, making Peyton better with the pressure that these guys that try to play in this hard nosed tournament because you know that it's physical.
Yeah.
So I be just trying to, jab them, ball them, throw them around a little. They just playing through it. They being pros is being pros, so we used to it, and the bump's been good.
Yeah. What? Just take me back to. Last year, when you came to Freedom Hall, you put on a show. But what was kind of like your mindset going in, knowing that you was playing against the Louisville alumni team, guys that you had relationships with and everything, and you were on the opposite side. But what was it like for you going into that game where you dropped 25 on the dudes?
Yeah, seriously.
It was for me. I had like two sides of it. It was like. Oh, these are my brothers, but then I just got to, like, try to win for the city, too, because that's the crib.
Yeah.
Like, that's still Tennessee for us. So, for me, it was just, like, it was a win-win for me. Like, I get to play against my brothers on TV against the crowd that, you know, embraced us, show everybody I still had it. And I really played last year for this year, basically. So that was my trial, basically, for this year. Mm-hmm. That's how I took it.
Yeah.
That's how I seen it. For me, it's always the next step for me. So I was one step ahead already. So if I killed against them, I show everybody I still was like that. And I was going to get a call. And Jordan made it happen. He stayed in tune with me my whole season this year. He stayed in tune with everything I did. So when I won, he said congratulations. He told me that everybody wanted me on the team. So I had committed to him.
That's awesome. Chris Jones joining us in studio. Last year, I was watching that game, and I mean, I saw some of the fans were a little upset that you were dropping 25 on the Ville team, almost to the point where, like, I'm a big wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, you know, there's the good guy, the bad guy, the heel, the face, and everything like that. Last year, I feel like you embraced a little bit of, like, hey, you want to boo me, that's fine, but I'm gonna ball out. But
like, people, y'all, like, at the end of the day, it's ball,
and
I'm from Memphis, so we embrace stuff like that.
No, just, that's what I'm saying. You embrace the role.
Yeah,
for sure.
I was going to be the villain regardless because I was on the opposite side. That's just how Louisville fans are.
Yeah,
play
right.
Here regardless. They're going to love you afterward, but during that game, you an enemy. I knew that coming in. I tried to tell my teammates that, like, I knew the type of defense intensity it took. I knew what was going to happen. I knew what the crowd was going to – I knew they were going on a crazy run. We got to sustain that. I said everything that I said was going to happen. I just know the fan base, like when they get behind the team, I knew it. I said, "Yeah, it's about to slip away. It's about to slip away." I already knew it.
Well, it was fun watching you last year, even though you dashed everyone's hopes, man. But yeah, it was fun watching you do your thing.
It was a lot of adding me on Twitter. I had a lot of on the edge of AC. You know, some saying I was a villain, but. It was all fun and games afterwards, though. So.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. It was a blast watching it. Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, and it's so awesome that you're part of the team this year. Everyone was excited when we saw that announcement, for sure, man.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Now, one of the things, my favorite part of last year, was there a favorite part of the game? I'll tell you mine, and then I wanted to know, like, from the game that you played that you like. Mine was when you got the N1 and you dapped up my man Maxi over on the sideline. I was like, yo, what is going on? Like, this are really turned on. Like, but what, did you have a favorite part of the game that happened last year?
My favorite part probably was that because he got his little air time. that's my guy. You know, we got to put all guys in good position,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that was one of them. And then the buzzer beater at halftime.
Yeah, that was sick.
And I got some money off here. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's always a good time.
Buzzer beater. Come on. So, yeah. So I that was one of them, too. But yeah, that one. And Nanu. The N1 on Nanu.
Yeah.
I had to get him because he always said he don't fall for it at practice. And I got him in front of everybody. So, yeah. I got him. I ain't stop talking about it to him either.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Because he always say he never fall for it. I ain't going to jump. I got him and won. Yeah. And Rondo talked to me on the side.
Okay.
Yeah. That really kept me going, him and David Johnson. Because David Johnson was talking crazy to me.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, he was like, we're going to live with that. Let him shoot. Say less. He was talking smack. But Rondo said he keep killing. So I just kept going.
Yeah, that's what's up. Now, speaking of David, David just got announced to be on the team. What does he bring? And what are those practices like now that, you know, he get to see it real up and close and personal now during the practice?
He was at practice yesterday. I don't think he missed like 4 shots. He shot like 90. Jeez. And the game was going to 12. Couple games he had 11 himself. It was like no misses. Wow. I was like, yeah. He like really didn't miss. So I didn't know he could shoot like that, but I knew he was a scorer. Mm-hmm. But a shooter like that, because he know for this team, he catches shoots gonna be a lot. Like, it's gonna be wide open for him.
Mm, right.
Because me gonna get to the lane, Payne gonna get to the lane, Russ gonna get to the lane. So those driving kicks gonna be wide open for him. And he showed yesterday he ain't gonna miss them. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Double teams on Trey. It can't have you got all shooters on the floor. So it should be fun.
It's going to be awesome. So I was about to say, like, I mean, these are you guys all, you know, are Cardinals and everything, but you know, all play for the same coach and everything. What's the act of this team going to be? You think? Like,
well, we got Reese coaching.
Yeah.
So it's going to be intense regardless.
Right.
He got a lot of dog in him. So that's what he wanted to see. He started off yesterday saying, "Nah, we ain't living by no. We getting to this paint. We gonna get to these paint and get kicked out." So he put in a little couple of plays and defensive routine. So he ahead. He taking it serious. So they're making us we buying in too.
Nice.
So a lot of a couple of us here early. You know, they put us in good spots, taking care of us, and brought us in early for this. So they showing and they taking care of us. So hey, we gonna do the same.
Absolutely, man.
Not for sure, man.
And I want to talk to you about just, you know, basketball outside of TBT. What has that been looking like? Is there an organization you play in, a certain part of the country, a world that you're playing in? What's that looking like?
Yeah, I'm still in London, Ontario. I ain't leaving. I signed 2 more years.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I don't want 3 over there. Great league. We big. 12-team league. It's lit. It's with the TBL. We play a couple of TBL teams sometimes. Mm-hmm. But BSL is getting bigger and bigger than NBL Canada was. So we just switching roles. It's the same thing, just switching names, switching management. 3 years in a row, champs over there. So I ain't thinking about going nowhere.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Is there anything that you're looking forward to now being on this side, playing in Freedom Hall as the home team and all those things? Like, anything that you're like, man, I can't wait to see what that's like?
I just want to see, like I'm on the other side now, so it's a different atmosphere. It's a different, like, embracing, like, everything. So, for me, it's just, like, me playing with my brothers again, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the most, like, entertaining thing for me. Like, I ain't get to play with Peyton. But in these runs, you could just tell why they fell in love with him. But I've been knowing him. Like, I'm always around him, like, every summer.
Right.
But finally, for to be with him under Wilson is going to be crazy. So he the only one I didn't play with. So everybody else I played with. So just learning from him and seeing how Russ relaxed with him and how he relaxed with other guards, it's cool. It's cool to see him, the old Russ, just going boom, boom, boom. He chilling. He know when to go now. So it all look good right now.
We were talking about it yesterday. The photo that came out, you know, with everybody, with David Johnson, with Earl Clark, with the whole squad. We were laughing because it was like, man, this is like an all. You know those things they put on like Twitter, like build your like your fantasy roster for $15. You know what I mean? It was like one of those coming to life with all the different generations of players. But I gotta ask, like, what are the rivalries? You talked about you and Nanu. Like, what are like the matchups that you've been seeing like in these runs? That it's like, wow, those two guys are really going at each other.
It's mixed matching,
right?
Because we don't have our whole TBT team, so some of the guys we mix in from Louisville. Pros, so it's not just us right now. So I can't really tell. We officially start on Sunday,
okay.
So they're gonna be the first one that everybody gonna be. Then we're gonna see,
right?
You know, but right now it's just us, a mixture, but it's mostly us playing with each other, playing against each other, just making each other better. You know, so I'm always gonna wrestle Payton's regardless.
Okay,
so.
I imagine that's a tall task, but not that you can't do it.
Yeah,
I'm
cool
just saying that's gotta
that's
be
the one
fun.
I want. You feel me? I am.
Yeah.
Because they know I'm a guard, so it's just be like, all right, he gonna get us in shape. He gonna bump out, man. Yeah, that's just gonna be me.
Yeah.
So now they taking the challenge, they learning the bumps. Boom, they getting back into shape, like playing against Americans. Because when you overseas, you play against a lot of Europeans a lot. You know, so it's easier. Boom, boom, boom. You come over here and it's doggish. They ain't calling none. Like, oh my God. Like, and they make you work for this money. They literally make you work for it. So just mentally tough, getting them in shape mostly. Because if we in shape, we ain't nobody be, you know how it's going to go.
Right, right. Russ had some really high praise for you yesterday.
Because me, I got to be the one to go hard every day.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so that's why I be looking good every time. I just, all right, I'm going. Man, I'm just going to go fast, go hard every day. So I'm going to stand out every time.
Nice.
Now, when you're having these runs, are the fouls called? Or is it no foul? Like, what's the kind of, like, the give paint us a picture?
Call your own foul.
Okay.
And you know you don't want to be the one who do that, though. Like, bro, come on. Then it's going to be an argument. But we ain't been arguing this summer, though. You know, it's been a great hoop, actually. So it ain't been that much foul. We ain't trying to hurt nobody, you know.
Yeah, right.
If a man going by you, don't let him go. Man, it ain't that serious. Like, people still getting paid for this.
Yeah.
Right. So just let them go. We ain't filing for real. That's why we try to keep it at its pros, because everybody got something to lose.
Chris Jones joining us, talking a little TBT, former Cardinal great in studio. Always fun. This has been a really good week. We had Russ.
Yeah.
We had Chris. Man, this is good. I'm getting really excited for the TBT.
Oh, yeah, it's heating up.
I got to ask you, though, because we asked Russ this. Like, do you have any interactions or any thoughts on what Pat Kelsey's doing with this new-look Cardinal team, man? You talk with him at all?
Yeah, we talked. He came in yesterday when we was all there.
Nice.
They look nice though. I think he's what the city D energy guy. When you meet him, shake his hand, you could just tell from that point on that what kind of guy he is. You know, he look in your eye, he talk to you. You know, he embrace you. He embraced the culture. You know, he stood in there and watched some of it. You know, so for us, you know, him seeing that, the players walking by watching, you know, it looked good for us.
Nice.
Now, are you guys? Do you know if you guys will get a chance to get some runs in with the current team, or is that
I don't know because of some rules that Payton's still coaching, and you know how that go.
Yeah.
We don't know. I don't know fully know the rules, so I don't know how to speak on it. But if we do, then Payton probably can't.
Okay,
but you never know. But cause by that time, we'll have our whole team, so we got 10. So that'll be. We're just going to be going against each other most likely.
Gotcha.
So we got to be as much chemistry as we can. You probably bump once though.
I'm not trying to get you to divulge any secrets, but, like, how many more roster spots do you think it maybe, like, we might be able to see? And you can you don't have to answer
who all
the question.
Is right now?
So it's what? You, Russ, Payton, David got announced not today. Triz, Nanu,
Shane.
So I'm at 8.
Mayo.
Yeah, Mayo, Pruitt.
Cal.
It's about like nine.
It's
about everybody.
So. It's everybody.
Okay.
We got probably one more, I think.
Okay.
All right, so maybe one more addition. Everybody. All right, yeah. Cool. Nice.
Hey, that's all.
Mostly everybody.
That sound good. Well, one last thing before we get you out of here, Chris, man. Just anything that you just really are most looking forward to this TBT experience and how far do you think you guys can really go?
Yeah.
Oh, with this group, like, because we got – leader, everybody know gonna be our leader is Payton and Trez. Mostly Trez have something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, we ain't here to waste no time. We ain't here to, you know, because we can't get time back for us. You know, we've been down here, we put that work in. We winning it. Like, we going to Philly regardless. You know, we're going to be, you know, some night ain't going to be all night on scoring. So we're going to have to buckle up and play both ends. Like, we know that. Like, this group right here is straight dogs. So I'm ready to see. I'm ready to get the flying, you know. Gonna throw a little press in, like, you know how we play.
Yeah.
So we ain't on all this good basketball, nice basketball. We ain't playing that way. No, that's over with. We ain't play that way.
Yeah, man.
It's gonna be fun, man. Well, Chris, we wish you the best of luck, man. We'll be watching. We'll be broadcasting the games out there. Pops will be out there. He sends his regards. He's in New York right now.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, he'll be out there, and you know, yeah, we're looking forward to it, man. Best of luck, dude.
Yeah, we we start up Sunday though.
Yeah.
I think they have media in there most likely.
So. Okay.
We'll see.
We'll definitely have some people to come.
Yeah, we'll be out there, man, for sure, man. Well, Chris Jones, best of luck. TBT, the Ville gets underway July 20th. TBT 15 or TBT Lou 15 is the promo code, 15% off your tickets. That's TBT Lou 15, 15% off your TBT tickets. It gets underway July 20th. They get underway Sunday, man. Chris, we appreciate the time, man.
Appreciate y'all for having me.
It's the B-Show. It's Thursday. We'll go down the stretch. Roundtable comes to you at 3. It's Jeff Whitesy Jr., Nick Valvano, in for Bobby V. It's ESPN 680, 105.7.